Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Turn with me this morning over to the book of James. Amen. We'll read a little here, not sure the direction of the Lord, but we know that he's here and he's with us. And we believe that he has been speaking, and we believe that he'll continue to. I got expectation of my God, brothers and sisters. I don't just pray. I don't just say, hey, pray. I pray and believe and trust. Amen. And I see God move and deliver and set free and touch. Amen. Hallelujah. And I see these things beginning in my household. Amen. Judgment begins in the house of God. Amen. And I believe that. Amen. And I stand welcoming the chastening of the living God. Amen. In my life, that I could perfect praises unto him and glory, and that this vessel can bring glory and honor to the living God. James, let's go to the first chapter here. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren. Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. It'd be a lot easier if we could receive this morning if I said, brethren, count it all joy when the blessings of God are being poured out upon you. Brethren, he said, count it all joy when the floodgates of heaven are opened up and your bank account is overflowing. Count it all joy, brethren, when your cabinets are full and your refrigerators are overflowing. Brethren, count it all joy. Yeah, I see you'd receive that real easy, wouldn't you? I could receive that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. All my bills are paid. I got them paid before they hit the mailbox. Everything's taken care of. Count it all joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, that's easy, isn't it? My brothers and sisters, if we understand the word. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, I found as a young Christian that when you want a prayer to be answered and heard, you know, somebody, well, Lord, help us out here a little bit. Oh, Lord, I need a little help. Lord, I need a little finance. Oh, Lord, I need a little of this. And you're thinking, oh, God, are you hearing my prayer? But you pray, say, Lord, I'm praying for patience. Oh, God, grant patience unto me. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a quick prayer. Boy, I mean, tell you, it's heard right away. Tribulation's already set in. Amen. I mean, it's already come, and this tribulation is going to bring forth some patience in your life. But brothers and sisters, what a great thing is to learn to have such things in your life, you know, and learn how to endure hardness as a good soldier, like the Word of God says. You know, we got to learn to endure. And a lot of times, brothers and sisters, you know, we living in a day of fast food and a fast hour, everything's like this. You can punch it in on the internet and pow, man, it's just like that. Man, they done got it. Man, it's on the way or whatever. You know, we go to the restaurant. If it ain't out in 30 seconds, it's like, man, what's wrong with these people? Everything's right now, fast. This is what we pray. We go, oh, God, do this. And we go on. And sometimes the Lord is trying to perfect us and bring patience in our life to stand and endure. You remember me saying this, that, you know, we understand the gifts of God. We understand miracles and we understand healing. We understand wisdom. We understand knowledge. These are gifts of God. But brothers and sisters, sometimes, you know, I say I see God move in the gift of healing more apparent and more active than I see the gift of miracles. Believe me, I've seen God move miraculously and I've seen miracles, but I see that the Lord moves more so in healing than he does in miracles. You know, when somebody is set free from affliction in their body and their body's healed, you see, that could be a healing or it could be a miracle. Instantaneous. The infirmity's gone, the affliction's gone, the pain's gone, the thing that perplexed you is just gone, just like that. That's a miracle. But many times what I'm saying, when it comes to a physical touch to the body, I see God moving more so in the gift of healing because it teaches patience and endurance. And you've heard me say this, but I'll say it again, but if you cut yourself, healing's begun. If you cut yourself and you see the blood and all of a sudden you look down and it's gone, like when the man with the withered hand with leprosy reached out and the Lord took that hand and he looked back at it and the hand was whole. That's a miracle. But you see, if the same virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ touched him and said, you're made whole in the name of Jesus, and he looks and he didn't see anything, it's still the same. He just didn't observe it. He didn't see it. And he's going to have to take hold of faith in God and say, you know what? I had a word spoken by the man of God. I had a word spoken by faith in God, and I believe it, and I receive it. I'm not going to observe the lying vanity because I forsake my own mercy. The Bible says when you observe the lying vanity, man, the preacher said, I'm healed, and look at this. I can see it ain't healed. Guess what? It won't be. That's unbelief. You see, but faith, brothers and sisters, is going to say, you know what? I'm not observing the lying vanity. I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm touched, that I'm blessed, that I'm healed. Amen. And you'll see this thing go through the metamorphosis. You'll see a change. Just as I say, when you cut yourself and you look at it, just closed up and done and no soreness, that's a miracle. But when you see it, start scabbing over, and you see it, there's still soreness there, but there's a healing process happening. And see, this is the way the Lord's word is. You receive. You receive. I remember Stephanie standing for a woman that was a paraplegic, and Stephanie got on the telephone and called all over town. Little old town. Said, you need to come out to church tonight. This sister's going to be healed. Move the town. People are saying, man, what is going on? I marveled at such a faith. I'm going like, wow. She went and the preacher said, he goes, you come to church tonight with an expectation and you're believing for a miracle. And she said, that's right. And the preacher said, well, I'm not going to yank this woman out of the wheelchair, but I'm going to pray for her because I see your faith. And this little girl was travailing, speaking in tongues, man, for 15 minutes, bowling back and forth, just praying in the spirit. Man, travailing in the spirit for this sister to come out of that wheelchair. Sister had no feeling in her feet. You could touch it. You could push on it. You could poke it. Same condition that Brother Chuck's in. No feeling there whatsoever. And the guy said, I'm not going to yank you out of this wheelchair. Let's see what the Lord's doing here. He said, you have no feeling or anything. She said, no. And he said, well, lift up your hands to the Lord. And he reached down and he touched her foot. He said, which foot am I touching? He said, the right one. He said, I thought you had no feeling. She goes, well, I don't, but I could feel you touching my right foot. And then he would do something else. She goes like this. He said, I thought you had no feeling. She said, can you move? She said, no, I haven't. He goes, well, move your right foot. And she moved it. Now, this was somebody that's been paralyzed from spinal cord injuries. Same identical situation as Chuck in an accident and no feeling whatsoever. And she started moving. The preacher said, you know, the girl wasn't living right. She wasn't doing right, was doing things unpleasing to God. She smoked. God's not pleased with that. And she wasn't going to church. He's not pleased with that. She wasn't living a Christian life. And he said, you know, God's begun a healing in your life. And God's moving in your life. And you will get out of that chair and walk if you walk with the Lord. Ask Stephanie. He goes, I want you to go over to her house every day and pray with her. And keep standing with her. But the girl wouldn't do it. She wouldn't get in church. She didn't do right. And guess what? You see, unbelief stopped what would begun. But you know, her husband, when she went home that night, he said, what happened? He said, man, this happened. And she said, you know, she said, the Lord really touched me and I had feeling and was moving and different things. So she had, and he goes, yeah, right. So she was laying in bed and she woke him up over about 2 o'clock that morning. And she said, would you cover up my foot? It's cold. And he thought, oh, come on. Because, you know, she had no feeling. So he says he got up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he went down there and one of her foot was uncovered and he touched the one and it was warm and the other one was cold and it moved faith in his heart. Because he didn't believe her. You see, brothers and sisters, what are we speaking about here? We're talking about faith in God. We're talking about God moves in faith. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you're expecting a miracle. And I do expect miracles and believe in miracles. But sometimes God thinks it's for your best interest to endure in the healing, to endure with patience, endure with trust, endure with hope, and keep pressing in. The Bible said it's ye that endure to the end. And God wants us to have endurance. Do you believe that's more important, brothers and sisters? We're moved so much by, you know, as I say, it's easy to rejoice. We say, oh, God's blessing us. Oh, man, all my bills are paid and all that. Brothers and sisters, there's heathens in this world that are walking in abundance. That's how we rejoice and praise God, because our bills are paid. And we rejoice and praise God because we have substance. We're Laodicea. I'm telling you. And I know that God blesses us with an abundance. I know He blesses us with paying our bills. And we should have that testimony to be able to rejoice in those things. But brothers and sisters, serving God is so much greater than that. One could have their bills paid and not have the Spirit of God and on their way to hell. What is that? But when a man has the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden it's like the disciples when they run out of the jailhouse rejoicing, they're going to be beaten for the name of the Lord. That's something to be rejoicing about, huh?
Oh my. You know, I've been trying to serve you, God. I've been trying to make sacrifices and do. Man, look at this. They're all coming together. Against me, you know?
Where's faith in that? You rejoice on the day of persecution. Rejoice in tribulation. You rejoice because God is going to show supernatural strength. You see, brothers and sisters, a man doesn't rejoice in tribulation and persecution and suffering. But we've been equipped with the mind to suffer. We've been equipped with the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been equipped in His faith and we rejoice and praise God. And saying, look at what's happening here. You could expect one thing, for God to move in my midst, for God to move in my behalf. God is going to show Himself, show faith in Him, in His Word. Amen. And He'll move. And He'll do it. You know, and you just stand with an expectation and a hope. Brothers and sisters, as the word says, when the substance is there, what are you hoping for? It's already been met. Faith being the substance things hoped for, the evidence things not seen. Brothers and sisters, it's been met. When it's already been met, there's no hope. But the Lord wants us to have a hope, and sometimes He puts us in these places, in these situations that we could expect. Are you expecting supernatural in your life? If you're just going along through life and, you know, man, praise God, well, another church day, well, I'm going to go to church and, you know, glory be to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And going on, man, you're not going to meet Him. You're going to meet Him because there's a hunger. He can create that. You know, we hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. And if we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, brothers and sisters, you say, well, that'll be satisfied. What kind of place is it going to bring us to hunger and thirst after that? When we're so full of worldly things and worldly appetites and worldly pleasures and worldly pride and worldly ambitions, we're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We're hungering and thirsting after flesh, things of the flesh, the things of the world, and we're being sufficed. Whatever you're hungering for, it'll be sufficed. You know, it's just the way it is. It don't matter what it is, it'll be sufficed. But we need to be hungering after the things of God. And after him. And then when he starts bringing it, recognize how he's bringing it to you. For you could stand and rejoice and praise him. Amen. You know, we have scriptures and thoughts and things that come to us, but we need to understand them. We need to understand why these things happen, why these perplexities happen. And I've said this from the sacred desk so many times, but if I was going to turn you over to Hebrews 11th chapter and read about faith. Oh, we had faith in God because we was having a great wedding supper, you know. Everybody's rejoicing and having a good time and praising God. And boy, we got faith in God. Oh, you know, we had faith in God over at the birthday party, you know. Oh, we got faith in God over when we was all, you know, fishing and camping out. Oh, we had faith in God when we're stripped off at the beach and all this. But no, it isn't that way. You know, when you find and read in the scriptures about faith being made manifest, it was when afflictions, infirmities, and sufferings and things that it took a supernatural strength to endure. You understand that? To stand and endure. And that's what it took. And this is what God is going to allow to bring some supernatural strength in our lives. Brothers and sisters, I could say as a minister observing life, observing families, observing Christian people or people of God and observing them. And you know, it's always the things that look so terrible is where I find people's growing at. I find they get strength. I find they grow. What do you do, Brother Rob? Do you pray that these afflictions could come to a man? Do you pray that these things could happen? No, brothers and sisters, I don't do that. But when I see them come, I rejoice in the Lord and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, because I know that you're there for them. I know that you'll endure for them. I know that you'll show yourself. I know that you'll move for them. I know that you're on the throne. I know your word is true. I know your word is real. That's the way your pastor prays. Amen. See, the church today's teaching a message that we bypass tribulation. And you say, well, you believe the church is going through tribulation. Brothers and sisters, the tribulation that the church is going through is today, present in this hour. We're being persecuted all the day long. We're in a tribulation now, enduring for others. Like Paul said again, travailing till Christ be formed in you. I'm not talking about the natural tribulation that's coming on this earth. This church is the light, and that's gross darkness coming in. The light will be removed. The church isn't going to go through that tribulation, but we're enduring it now, brothers and sisters. We're going through travails now till Christ be formed in others. Amen. We go through persecutions and tribulations and suffering. Pray that God would equip you with the mind to suffer. Why would he want you to be equipped with the mind to suffer if there wasn't some suffering expected for the saints of God? Amen. It's like the brother said from India when he came here. He said, man, if you're going to a church that teaches suffering, run from it, he said. Jesus done all the suffering for us. The Lord Jesus did suffer for us that we could have life. But he suffered for us that he could conquer and abolish death, brothers and sisters. And it was conquered and abolished. And we are the sons of God, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're bringing this victory and this power and this authority, doing greater things than Jesus done when he walked among men right now in this present day and hour. And I know some of you won't understand that. I just don't see you doing greater things than the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm doing greater things. Brothers and sisters, just because Jesus raised the man from the dead, brothers and sisters, didn't put him into eternal life. Just because Jesus laid hands on a man and his eyes come open, didn't open his eyes up to see when he had people with their eyes open standing before them. And he said, though you have eyes, you do not see. Those weren't the miracles that moved the spirit world. Those were natural and physical miracles that were taking place when Jesus said, rise up and walk. Amen. And they got up and walked. You think those are great miracles, brothers and sisters. I'm doing greater miracles now because I'm taking people that are capable of running in their track and running in strength and power, and people that got 20/20 eyesight and getting their eyes opened up that they could see beyond the veil. Now we've moved the heavens. Now we've moved the kingdom of God. But see, the whole church world is seeking after a sign, the Bible says. And he said, I'm afraid of you. Oh, I want to hear them speak in tongues. I want to see the natural get healings. I want to see these things happen, and they rejoice and praise God. But you lay hands on a man, and he goes out the door, man, oh God, touch me, praise God. And he's a whoremonger, he's a pervert, and he's right off out there in the things of the world. What have you done? But when you get that man's eyes opened up beyond the veil, and he could see into the kingdom of God, and he could see the power and the authority of the gospel, and he keeps himself unspotted from the world and separates himself from the world, and he walks as an overcomer in Christ, then you've done something, amen. You see, people have troubles with the scriptures. I don't understand how we could do greater things than what he did. See, the Lord Jesus came and finished something. He came and finished something in blood life, a physical realm. He came and this is why he had to show the things that he'd done, because it was a finishing and a completion of that. But then introduced a spirit covenant, brothers and sisters. We spoke about this. There was a water world and there was a thing to fulfill with the water. Remember I said the other night, when we think of Cain and Abel, and Cain brings forth a sacrifice that was relative to the water world. It was plant life, vegetation, and it was the first fruit. It was something that was required of him to do, to offer the first fruit of his crop, and he done that, but it didn't suffice the Lord, because that covenant had been violated with Eve. The thing was violated in the garden there, so now it was necessary for a blood covenant. You understand? When they took and put a covering of fig leaves on them, that wasn't going to suffice the Lord, because that covenant was already messed up and done away with. So there had to be an introduction of the blood covenant, and this is why those animals had to be killed there. There had to be a bloodshed, and they were covered with the skins of animals, of beasts, to show another dimension. And Jesus came along and fulfilled the dimension of the beast by coming in. He came in the image of the beast, the image of sin nature. The Bible says he was not sin and he was not a beast, but he came in the image of that. He took it to Calvary and had it smitten. This showed that beast being smitten, and it was the shedding of the blood. The first world was flooded by water, totally immersed. This second image, we say the earthen vessel perspective. Jesus came, the thorns crammed down over his head, his hide. You know, these Catholic pictures, you know, they make him look so dainty on his little cross with his little loincloth, and they put a little thorn on his head with a little drop of blood. It wasn't that way. They mocked and they jammed it down over his head and ripped his flesh open, and the blood was running down in his eyes and all over him. He was beyond recognition. You couldn't even recognize who he was. They beat him so bad and plowed his back like a field, ripped the flesh off of his body, and they mocked him and they did those things. But that was a total bloodbath, and it was the completion, brothers and sisters, of the blood covenant. He said that he's the author and the finisher, brothers and sisters. He said it's finished, it's completed. When he was there on the cross of Calvary, it was a completion and a finishing of blood life. That's why the blood sacrifice isn't no good for you today, when you've already been born again and born into the kingdom of God. You can't go on completing the blood of Jesus and say, oh God, wash me in the blood and cleanse me in the blood. That was a one-time work by Jesus Christ at Calvary. You are now walking in the Spirit, and you're purified now by the Spirit of fire, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You're made pure and righteous because of burning the wrath and the chaff out of your life. Amen. You see, brothers and sisters, the Bible said when you know to do right and you go off into willful sin, there remaineth no more blood sacrifice. That's what my Bible says. It remaineth no more sacrifice, but you have one thing to look forward to. The Bible says the fiery indignation of God. Amen. That fiery indignation, when John the Baptist, he said, there's one coming after me, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes. He said, but he'll baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and fire. That's the fire of God that's going to come and burn these unpleasing things. We got to press into perfection. Amen. And we got to bring these works forth. Amen. This is why it says in the New Testament doctrine that, you know, he's afraid of you that are seeking after a sign. You want to see the things that vindicates, oh, this is the Holy Ghost, man of God. Man, this guy got up and, man, he was sick and he got healed. Oh, this one was blind, he got his eyes open. Oh, this one, this and that. That it vindicates. That don't vindicate no man of God, brothers and sisters. What vindicates a man of God? The Bible said, you know they're the sons of God because they're led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And sometimes the leading of the Spirit of God isn't going to show what they think. Sometimes it's going to show judgment. Sometimes it's going to show wrath. Sometimes it's going to show authority and power. Amen. And judgment begins in the house of God. Amen. So we got to be led by the Spirit of God when we're the sons of God. It's another sacrifice, brothers and sisters. Are you doing away with the blood of Jesus? No. You'll never get where I'm talking about lest you come through the blood. I would never do away with the blood. Amen. But I'm not taking and trampling it under my feet this day and hour. I'm not continually pleading the blood. It would make me no more than a Catholic priest when the people coming in and they just keep on for their sins, you brothers and sisters. But it don't work that way. It's not that way whatsoever at all. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost. We've been filled with the power of the living gospel, power of God. Amen. We're overcomers. We're more than conquerors. Amen. I'm not pleading the blood of Jesus for sin because I can't sin, because his seed remaineth in me and keepeth me from sin. I'm born of God. Amen. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I pass from death unto life. The sting of sin is death, and I pass from death unto life. I don't need to be pleading God for sin, because if sin there, that means that Jesus didn't do his work. work. It means that death wasn't abolished. I believe in what he's done, brothers and sisters. Amen. And he's taken me and sealed me in and hid me away in Christ. I'm beyond sin, brothers and sisters. There's nothing that could be laid to my charge because I'm walking in the Spirit. Amen. I'm hid away in Christ, predestined in him. I'm a son of God, the body of the living God, the body of Christ. I've caught away, hid away, sealed in. Nothing, brothers and sisters, could be laid to my charge. Amen. Because I'm God's elect. See, this isn't some kind of doctrine of some kind of thing. This is revelation. This is word. It's true. It's real. We need to get to a place that we can believe that and walk in it. Then we have some that walk out there and say, oh, praise God, I can't sin. You know, give me another smoke. Give me another joint. Give me another snort. Give me another drink. Give me another whore. You know, man, I'm a son of God. I can't sin. To me, all things are pure. And they're lost on their way to hell. And they don't know God. Because my God is power. My God is authority. Amen. My God fills me with the Spirit of power. I can overcome all things. There ain't no drug that could addict me and hold me down. There ain't anything, brothers and sisters. Amen. Because I could exercise authority over it. Amen. This is how we bring forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this present day and hour. Through overcoming, through victory, and through power. I'm not distraught. I'm not in despair. I'm not in these things because of what's happening around this physical world that's pressing in upon me. I stand. Amen. Hallelujah. The Son of Man didn't have a place to lay his head, and we could rejoice in the authority and the power of salvation. Amen. God's given us everything that pertaineth unto life. Where do you live? What world are you in? Who are you of? What motivates your conversation? Is Jesus the high priest of your confession? Brothers and sisters, if he's the high priest of your confession, then what is your confession? Oh, poor me. Boy, I'll tell you what, I can't find that. Poor me, man. This is... Pick up your head. Amen. Strengthen yourself. Man, if you're weak, say that you're strong in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let you that are weak say that you're strong. Amen. Let you that are afflicted rejoice in the Lord and praise him and magnify him. Satan don't know what to do with that. You know, sometimes when you find the carnal mind and the satanic powers of flesh in people, and they come and they're going to make a move, some kind of a way to see how it affects your spirit, and the Lord allows it. And all of a sudden, because you're not moved by the flesh and your answer's back in the Spirit of God, it just stops them. They don't know how to deal with that. It's like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. You return evil for evil. Somebody don't like you and you return to them that you don't like them. Guess what? You're fleshly. And that's what they expect, and it strengthens the hand of the enemy. But when those things happen, and you love them anyway, see, now you've stepped into the spiritual realm. Like I said, I know Brother Ed loves me. It's easy for me to say, Brother Ed, I love you. It's easy for me to say that to any of you brethren. Because I know you love me and I love you. But that's great and wonderful. But when you could show the same love you have towards a brother to an enemy, to somebody that despitefully uses you, somebody that's come against you and come with all manner of evil against you, and you say, hey, I love you, man. Let me help you. Oh, you want my coat? Let me give you my other one too. Now you're starting to exercise spirit life and spirit world. You see, you're exercising something that isn't fleshly. You see, flesh will answer to flesh. You know, you do good to flesh, flesh will do good back to you. Amen. But see, God's got to show himself. You see, man understands fleshly things and fleshly mind. Man understands that. Sometimes God will make things and manipulate, so to speak, that fleshly world that he could show forth the power of the spirit world. Amen. And that's what he wants to do. When you get a report of these men running out of the jailhouse rejoicing they're going to be beaten for the name of the Lord, I'm going to say, boy, them guys wasn't in the flesh, were they? Were they? You know, how many of you have rejoiced, man, for being beaten? Rejoice in tribulation. Rejoice in persecution. You see? Do you do that? Oh, man, God help me. Preacher, pray for me. Amen. Pick up your heads, man, and praise God and say, thank you, Lord God, that you found me worthy to go through this tribulation and persecution. You must have saw the spirit of power and the Holy Ghost in me, or you wouldn't let these things come on. Thank you for the power to endure to the end. Thank you, Lord God, for showing yourself in my life. Amen. And then you'll find the power and the move of God. And then when you come out on the other side of that thing, because you went through it, not around it. As I was saying a minute ago, the church is nowadays teaching us we're going around everything. Oh, praise God for the works of Jesus. Oh, praise God for this and praise God for that. Yes, I rejoice and praise God. But I praise God that his word is real. I praise God that the promises are real. I praise God that he said, go and tarry there in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. What did he give us power for? Because we need it. Why did he say, equip yourself with this full armor of God? Why did he tell us to do that unless we're soldiers for Christ and we're going to be in a warfare and a travail? Why would he give us a sword of the Spirit or a shield of faith? Why would he give us a helmet of salvation? Why would he have given us those things unless it's something that we need to war with? Amen. But when you're protected and girded up in that thing and the adversary comes, you look at him, not like, oh, what are you going to do to me? You say, get out of my way, Satan. I'll take your head off. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We have authority. We have power. Amen. But sometimes you see these little demon spirits taking, got a man on the run. And you see these things, you think, come on, take your rightful place in the Lord. Take your rightful place and gird up your loins and stand and face the enemy. The armor of God is for facing the enemy. There's no armor and protection when you turn your back. It isn't there. It's because we're soldiers, brothers and sisters. We're standing and face to face against the enemy and the adversary. And when we do that and we take our rightful place, he comes down. We draw nigh unto the Lord and we resist the devil and he flees. A lot of times we hear resistance. Oh, Satan, get behind me. I rebuke you, Satan. You ain't coming against me. But we fail to draw nigh to God. We want to draw nigh to God. Have you been in fellowship with him? Have you been speaking to him? Have you been walking with him? Have you been in communion with him? Is he supping with you and you supping with him? Or are you one of those ones where he's standing at your heart's door knocking continually, saying, I want to come in and fellowship with you. I want to come in and fellowship with you. And you don't open the door. Some of us like to fellowship in the natural, in the flesh. Oh, God, I like it when I feel you. I get the goosebumps, oh, Lord God. Man, I was in church, man, and old sister such and such was singing, and I lift up my hands, and I got the goosebumps on the back of my neck, man, hallelujah. See, they like that. That's okay. But that comes on the unjust, too. Amen. But brothers and sisters, you know, when you're endued with the power of the Holy Ghost, man, you've got this running forth from within, and it's coming forth continually, and it makes you stand strong, and it makes you stand upright in righteousness. Amen. It brings holiness forth in you, the spirit of holiness, and without it, no man will see God. The spirit of holiness is going to produce the fruit of holiness. Amen. And it's going to be seen. People say, well, it's all a spiritual work. Well, if it's all just a spiritual work, we may as well throw this Bible away and just all say we're predestined in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's just go on. You know, let's just go ahead and frolic in the world. No, we're bringing forth the fruit, righteousness and holiness. Amen. In this life, that's the overcoming power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. This is what we have to do, brothers and sisters, to show forth power and authority to conquer flesh, worldly lust, worldly pride. And when we stand back and say, oh, I studied my Bible, man. I know this and that. You ain't nothing. Amen. You think you know something and you know nothing whatsoever. But we stand and say, praise God. I rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ because I know nothing. I'm the least of all in the kingdom of God. But he blessed me with his presence. He blessed me with his power. He blessed me with his wisdom. He blessed me with his understanding. Amen. I'm nothing and have nothing. But he's given me all things that pertaineth unto life. Amen. And I would be nothing outside of him. All of my education, all of my learning, all of my understanding was done. I thought I knew something, knew nothing whatsoever. But by the grace of the living God and by the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, he gave me everything. Hallelujah. That's something to rejoice about. That's something to praise him about. Amen. Hallelujah. You love the Lord. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can come to the revelation, amen, that you're nothing, amen, and he's everything, that's when he can give you everything that pertaineth unto life. Amen. You got to come to a revelation that you cannot seek him out, but he sought you out, amen, when you was lost and in the world and bound and afflicted, and he found you and he set you apart, amen. He predestined you, amen. Hallelujah. Get out of these doctrines that you've earned and done. I'm glad I come to the house of God. Did you get victory? No, victory got me. Praise God. Verse 3, it says, knowing that this trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Have you found that place? Is worldly lust and worldly flesh and worldly possessions driving you and motivating you and moving you? Is it what gets you on your knees? Oh God, I need a car. Oh God, I need a house. Oh God, I need clothes. Oh God, is that what motivates your prayer life? Man, we're not lacking nothing. Man, our prayer life should be rejoicing and praising and thanking him, amen. Thanking him for what you have. What you have, nothing can take away. Worldly possessions and all those things, they fade away. They go to nothing. They go to naught. And if you happen to leave some for your family, they'll take and wear it out and make it nothing, you know, as soon as you're gone. What is those things? Thank God for the spirit life and the spirit power and the spirit authority and what he's given you, that nothing could be taken away. And let that be inheritance for your children. They can see a spirit walk and a spirit-led life in you. That's what they need to see. Let them remember mamas and daddies and grandmothers and grandfathers as one standing in the spirit. Don't let them remember fleshly lust, fleshly desires, and worldly. Say, you know, I could remember my grandma before the throne of God. I could hear her praying before the Lord, saying, God, deliver and help my grandchildren, and let me be an example. Let me walk in the authority and the light. Amen. Put something that will remain in their hearts, something that will stay forever. Amen. That's where we need to be. Let's go back to the scriptures here. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Do you want man's wisdom or God's wisdom? There's a difference. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Do you waver in your faith? Brothers and sisters, when you get a word from the Lord, stand on it. Don't waver. When you waver, brothers and sisters, you know, it's noticeable. Most definitely by the Spirit of God. But I mean, it's something that's seen in your life when your faith is wavering. Well, you know, bless God, Lord, done this for me, man. Praise God, thank you, Jesus. And then you find yourself down in your countenance the next time, and this and that. What happened to that faith you had the other day? What happened to that believing that you had the other day? What happened to that testimony you shared the other day? Why are you wavering in your faith? Why don't you stand up and stand strong? It doesn't matter when you hold your hand out and it's still withered. Say, God healed my hand. It's healed. It's whole. You just can't see it. You're observing lying vanities, and guess what? That hope and that faith, unwavering faith, all of a sudden will bring a manifestation. And one day you'll walk in the door and they say, wow, your hand is whole. Wow, your hand is complete. Man, what happened? Well, it's like I told you back when you was observing the lying vanity. It already took place, but you didn't see it. But I saw it, and I stood, and I was unmoved, and I didn't waver in my faith, and I continued to believe. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where we got to come to, brothers and sisters. Don't be moved by the blind vanities of flesh. Don't be moved by the things that you see. You know, if you look at your bank account and every time you look at it, it says, man, it shows red. It shows zero. Quit observing it and say, my God is the provider and he's going to rain it from heaven. Hallelujah. Because I love him and his word's true and I'm pressing in. I've done all I know to do. I'm laboring. I'm not an infidel. I'm working. I'm pressing. I'm pushing. And my God's going to have to step in and move in my behalf. He's going to have to move supernaturally. Amen. It's like Brother Email here. I had one car and only one. Everything coming down against him. He'd been trying to share with the brethren here in the work. And his one car, he hydroplaned out and tore it and totaled it. And he found himself afoot. He called me and said, the only thing I could do is praise God, man. He said, this is tough. It's a warfare. But all I could do is rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And God brought him a car. An individual that, matter of fact, they had a cross up at work. And it appeared that this man was his enemy because he wouldn't get involved with him in his foolishness. And it seemed to be his enemy. And this man says, well, here, take this one and use it until you can get another one. He said, he'll make your enemies come lie down and be at peace with you. And when your enemy comes up and says, here, take this car. Well, come on, brothers, sis, that's the word of God. We stand on the word. If he's going to move like that today, then what is he going to do tomorrow? I have expectation of him to move in my behalf, to move for me. Amen. That's my expectations. I have expectations of my God to show himself. He can move, brothers and sisters. So many times he'll move where you don't expect him to move. You know, I told an individual, they said, well, we want you to support our church. We want you to get on a monthly support and you send us a check every month. I said, I won't do that. It offended them. Well, I may help you. But I said, you know, when people have support and this one's going to give a couple hundred and this one's going to give a couple hundred, you know where their faith is at? In the mailbox. They're out there at the mailbox every week opening up. Hey, where's that check from Christian Temple? Hey, where's that check? Hey, where's that check? Put your faith in God and your trust in God. Amen. And he'll move. Amen. He'll open up the floodgates. He'll pour out the blessings. You know, but we get dependent. Brothers and sisters, when we get dependent on our skills, he'll blow on it. When we get dependent upon our businesses, he'll blow on it. Because he wants us to know that we're dependent upon him. That he is the God. Amen. And we trust him. And when your skills and your abilities bring forth financial blessings, you say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know you could shut a nation down over day. And you could surely shut my business down just like that. In a wink, he could shut you down. Don't put your strength in your abilities, in your skills, in your business, in your finances, in your checking accounts, in your credit cards. Put your trust and put your faith in God. I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, the American dollar's already weak and crumbling anyway. Don't put your trust in that. I'll tell you what, something could take place in this country like that, and a nation come down overnight. The Bible said they'll take their money and throw it to the bats. It won't mean nothing. You understand that? On our money, it says trust in God. Brothers and sisters, they departed that a long time ago. They put their trust in everything but God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, but remember what it said on that when they allowed that to be put on there. Put your trust in God. Don't put your trust in Lincolns and Washingtons and Jacksons. Put them in God, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only one that you could put it there. Let's read on just a little bit more. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All his ways. He's unstable in business. He's unstable in prayer. He's unstable in church. He's unstable in his marriage. He's unstable in his family. He's unstable in all of his ways. It shows up everywhere in his life. Don't be double-minded. Be established. Come into one mind and one accord. Let your thoughts be pure and righteous and holy. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Brothers and sisters, you know, worldly people, man, they measure everything by wealth. They measure everything by the size of a home. They measure everything by the speed of a car. They measure everything by what's materialistic and what's temporal. They measure everything and they look to everything, and that's the desires. But brothers and sisters, get a hold of faith in God. Amen. Look beyond the veil and see that there's something more pure, more rich, and things than what's going to perish here. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. So should we invite temptation? If you're going to receive a crown of life, how are you going to get this? It's blessed is that one that's being tempted. Amen. The Lord Jesus himself had to go up on the mount of temptation to be tempted of the devil. How much more so will you? Amen. You'll be tempted with so many things. The devil will open up doors. He has the authority. He's the God of this world. He could move the carnal-minded people to bless you and to show you things and open up doors and say, man, look at this. Man, you go through this door. Man, look at this. It's a great job. It's got great dividends. It's got great insurance. It's got great this. But God says, I don't want you there. And all of a sudden, because you're worldly and fleshly minded and you're savoring the things that this world's got to offer, it's a snare, it's a trap, and you find yourself caught therein. Amen. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's be led by the Spirit. Let's trust the living God, amen, to move in every affair that we're involved in, everything that we do, everything that we touch. Expect him to move in it, amen, and he will. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, amen. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, verse 12. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Oh, I don't know if I like that. And enticed. You say, oh, it don't ever happen to me. Well, get up here and I'll cast the lying devil out of you. Amen. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. I'm telling you the truth, brothers and sisters. We're all moved and enticed by fleshly lust. We always take it to sexual perversions. But brothers and sisters, you could be lusting for more business, lusting for more finance, lusting for more money, lusting for the things of this world, the provisions of this world. And you're just as guilty as the perverts and the perverted ones. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That's why we can't sin, brothers and sisters, because the stain of sin is death. Amen. Hallelujah. And it has no part in a son of God. Amen. Where are you at? Where do you live? Where do you dwell? Hallelujah. I'm living in heavenly places, dwelling in heavenly places, walking in the Spirit. Amen. Hid away and sealed in. Praise God. Do not err, my beloved brethren. brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. Praise God. He is pure. He is light. There's no shadows in him. Amen. Like you say, when you get in the noonday, amen, there's no shadows because the sun's straight up. Hallelujah. But when it gets over here, then it starts casting the shadows. Brothers and sisters, we're the children of the day, the children of light, not the children of darkness. Amen. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. Do you have it? That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We're the sons of God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Praise God. If any man among you seem to be religious, boy, we know a lot of them. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Do you hear that, brothers and sisters? We can sometimes carry the testimony, man, I'm a son of God. Man, I'm born of God. Man, I'm a Christian. I said the sinner's prayer. I accepted Jesus. You're religious so far, but you bridleth not your tongue. Sometimes the Lord allows things to come in your midst. He prepares a devil to get in your midst. He prepares a devil to be in your face. He prepares the devil to start pushing your buttons. And when anger comes forth, where'd it come from? When wrath comes forth, where did it come from? When you can't control your own spirit, you're incompetent. Where did that come from? Your religion is in vain. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is the one that sent that one in your face. He's the one that pushed them there to push the buttons. He's the one to get in your face. The Lord sent that man to get in your face. So you ain't nothing but the devil. I don't like you. You're ugly. You're a jerk. You're a punk. He sent him. You say, I love you. You say, I don't know if I could do that, Brother Rob. I have. I've done it. Not once. No, I didn't do it as a man. I've done it as a spirit-filled child of God. I said, Lord Jesus, they spit in your face. They plucked your beard. They spoke all manner of evil and you endured it. I could endure it in you. All things in you, amen. With you giving me the power of the Holy Ghost, exercise it, amen. And rejoice in the Lord when they come to persecute you. Rejoice in the Lord when they speak all manner of evil against you. Rejoice in the Lord when they lie against the truth. Say hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. I can endure to the end. I can stand strong to show the power of the Holy Ghost, amen. Because I'm a savior to this world. I'm sent into this world to be an ambassador for Christ. I'm not of this world, but I'm bringing the attributes of the invisible things of God into this earth to show love. Amen. Can you do it? You have to. You have to have that spirit or you're none of his. Without his spirit, you're none of his. You need his spirit. You need his infilling. You need his power. You need his strength. You need the authority of the Holy Ghost that you can put all things under your feet. Amen. Praise God. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Sometimes we can visit the fatherless and the widows, the orphans, but we don't keep ourselves unspotted from the world, and we would have to back up to the verse prior. And our religion is just in vain. We got to fulfill it all of the word, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, look for the opportunities to show forth Christ. Look for the opportunity to let the attributes of Jesus be made known in your life. People, when these things are happening, they're always, you know, saying, oh, Satan, he come in and he done this, and oh, this guy ain't nothing but the devil. Man, he made me so mad. He made me do this. I picked up a tool to bash him in the head, and man, I cursed him out. I done, you know, the devil, this, the devil, that. No. It wasn't the devil at all. The Lord prepared that man. The preparation of a man's heart is from God. It doesn't matter if that man's a son of God or a heathen. God prepared his heart. We read in the Bible, he said that he prepared Pharaoh's heart when Moses came, that he wouldn't let him go. That's what God did. God said he hardeneth his heart. Brothers and sisters, it's the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus, for sending this devil to me. Thank you, Jesus, for sending this heathen to me. Thank you, Jesus, for sending this wicked man to me. Thank you, Jesus, for sending this man that has no understanding to me, that I could stand forth and show the love of God. Amen. When Jesus was on the cross and that Roman centurion was right there by the foot of the cross, was there doing his job as a soldier. And he says, you know what? When he says, Father, forgive him. And he's praying for him and loving him. He said, man, this surely must be God. This surely must be the Son of God. This man surely must be who he said he was. Amen. But when a man comes to you, the devil, the carnal mind's taken into captivity at the will of Satan, and some satanic man comes to you that's moved by the satanic powers of this world, and he comes, and it is Satan making him press you. It's Satan to make him do those things. For he can see weakness in you. But when you show the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost to that man, all of a sudden you just become partakers in soul winning. Oh yes, you're being crucified right now afresh. You're being crucified. You're mortifying the deeds of your flesh. You're mortifying the deeds of man. People want to see you show fleshly attributes, fleshly strength, fleshly power. I've had people, if I would have took and slammed them right in the face and they done 3 backflips, laid out cold for 2 hours and got up, they could have danced and rejoiced in the Lord, saying, I knew he wasn't of God. And they would have rejoiced. They would have went home maybe with an ice pack, but they would have been rejoicing. I knew that preacher wasn't of God. I knew he didn't have anything. And they would rejoice. But you look at him and smile and say, I love you, man. I'm sorry you feel that way, but I love you, man. If I could do anything to help you, that man will go home and he'll lay in his bed and he'll flip and he'll flop, and the Spirit of God will be convicting him and it'll be drawing him. And that's how you become a soul winner, amen, because you endure hardship like a good soldier, amen, and you let him speak all manner of evil against you and you rejoice and you praise him, hallelujah, amen. What's happening in your life? Why is there an adversary? Why is there an enemy? If the enemy didn't come and the adversary didn't come, we would never be able to show the power that we have. You put a room full of black belts on there, say, yeah, I'm a black belt. You know, walk around, yeah, I'm a black belt too. Yeah, I'm a black belt too. You know, and they got a whole room of black belts. You know, what do you got? But you know, if you see something come in against them and you see them move and you see them protect, you know, you say, well, he does have something, amen. What do you got? Do you have a confession with your lips, but your heart's far from him? You know, what do you have? Where's your authority? Where's your power? Where's your convictions? Well, I could conquer all things. Conquer your flesh. Conquer your lust. Conquer your pride. Conquer your masculinity. Conquer it. Well, I'm going to be masculine, man. I'm not some sissified little queer, you know, limp-wristed. I'm going to be masculine. Well, that's not what I'm speaking about. Let me tell you what masculine is. Let me express masculinity to you when they're speaking all manner of evil against you and you look them in the eye and say, I love you. You say, oh, masculine, show a man. I'm a man. I ain't taking that. No way you're going to talk to me like that. You big sissy. That's just nothing but the devil. You know, when you cock him upside the head and slap him, I'd lived in that world. I know what it's all about. You know, you think, oh, I'm bad, I'll show them. You ain't nothing but a sissy, because it's just the devil whipping your hide. And he's taking your spirit and taking control of you. Oh, yeah, you might be able to whip 25 men. Well, praise God, yo, you're tough. When one little old devil about this tall's done whipped you and molested you and raped you. And you ain't nothing but a sissy. Lord, help me, Jesus. You say, I don't know if I like that kind of preaching. I like it. Amen, because I had to get delivered. Amen. You know, if you want to show strength, show God. If you want to show strength, show humility. If you want to show power, brothers and sisters, express it through weakness of flesh. Amen. And you'll see the power of the spirit world. Amen. I'll tell you, you want to see the things of God, the invisible things of God, then let the things of this fleshly world and fleshly life be exposed. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot come to you lest there be an exposing of the son of perdition. Well, where's he at? He was in your flesh when you took your first breath. He was laying there within the members of your flesh. There's many antichrists among us, the Bible said, when the sons of God came to present themselves, the devil's there also. Brothers and sisters, let's reconcile. recognize that. You come into the house of God by yourself and everybody forgot it was church day. And you come by yourself and you come into the house of God, the devil's there also. Where did he come? He came in the members of your flesh. That's why you got to mortify it daily. That's why you got to put him under your feet daily. That's why you got to cast down every vain thought and every vain imagination. Exalt yourself before God. You got to learn to tell the devil, shut your mouth. You're not using my thoughts. I got authority over my thoughts. Amen. I'm a son of God and I'm thinking on things heavenly, thinking on things godly, thinking on things virtuous, righteous. Amen. That's the way the sons of God think. Start controlling the way you think. Start controlling who's using your brain, who's using your mind. Amen. Satan will move in so subtle and so smooth and so religious. He'll think that you're doing the Father's will and you'll be putting him to death. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Let's believe the word of God. Let's stand together. I'm glad I came to the house of God today. Amen. I love the Lord. Amen. I love you and I appreciate you. I appreciate you, brother, and I appreciate your labors. I appreciate your endeavors. I appreciate your financial support and your strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what do you expect of us more? You say, oh, Brother Rob, I'm doing all I can do. Oh, you can do more than that. Amen. When you've done all to stand and all that you can do, the Bible says continue to stand. And when the enemy moves in against you, stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I rejoice in affliction. I rejoice in persecution. I rejoice in those things. Amen. Can you learn to do that? That's how you come through them. You don't come through them by, oh me, poor me. You come through them by praising God, rejoicing in the Lord, saying, thank you, Lord. It's found me strong enough in the Spirit of God that I can endure hardness. And I can come through this. Amen. Continue to strengthen me. Find prayer. Find the power of prayer in your life. Amen. And pray. Humble yourself before the Lord with all humility and pray and say, God, mortify. God, kill me out. God, get me out of the way. God, fill me with your Spirit. God, gird up my loins like a man that I could stand unmovable. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to find that in prayer. You're going to find that in intercession. You'll find that standing in the counsel of a living God. Amen. Hallelujah. He ain't giving you the power to exalt yourself as somebody, but it's to lift up and magnify Jesus Christ. Amen. Anything you do brings glory to you as a man, God ain't in it. Amen. But when it brings glory to the gospel of the Jesus Christ and the glory to the living God and the power, amen, then you are the glory of God and God has glorified you. Amen. And he's shown himself because you're the body of Christ, and let him receive all glory, honor, and praise. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is my everything. Hallelujah. He is my all. Amen. He is my God, my salvation, my Savior, my helper, my Redeemer, my Prince of Peace. He's the lily of my valley. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus, my comforter. He's my help, my strength. He's my salvation. He's everything to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You have the power to put Satan under your feet. You have the power to put death under your feet. It's abolished. It's finished. You got the power and authority to put sin under your feet. You got the power and authority to put all sickness under your feet. Amen. Because you're a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High King. Hallelujah. And you have all authority and power. Amen. Because he gave you the power of the Holy Ghost to endure to the end. He's filled you with his Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And you're more than a conqueror. Amen. Can you believe it, saints? Hallelujah. It's yours. The promise is yours. It's been finished. It's been fulfilled. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord. He's here this morning. He's alive. He's well. He's not coming. He's been here all the time. Amen. We're not looking for a God to come. We're fellowshipping and rejoicing and praising and magnifying the God that's here, the I Am. Hallelujah. The one that's ever present. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. The altars are open this morning. If you're walking below your means, the altars are open for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and endued with power. Hallelujah. To stand and to stand strong. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Loving brothers and sisters, worship him. Lift up your hands to the Lord and say, God, fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Fill me, Lord God, with the Spirit of power. Lord God, let me make a difference in this world. Amen. Let me, my light so shine, Lord God. Let me be a Savior, a soul winner, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
In the blood.
Thank you, Jesus. Worshiping saints, hallelujah. He's the spirit of worship, amen. And you'll only know him through praise and worship. And he'll fill you and fill you with his power. Fill you with his Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Are there any others who want to come in the altars and worship the Lord? Hallelujah. Are there any others that are hungering and thirsting for more of God? Wanting to fill them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Fill them with the joy of salvation. Fill them with the overcoming power to walk on the things of this world and put them under their feet. Hallelujah. Come into the altars with an expectation to be endued with power, hallelujah, to set you apart, hallelujah, to make you an overcomer, amen, to give you enduring strength and power to continually to walk steadfast in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, the power to be illuminated with the brightness of the coming of the Lord, hallelujah, to eradicate the darkness of sin and flesh and death, amen, hallelujah. It's the power to make you a child of the Most High God, to fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, to fill you with the joy of salvation, amen. Hallelujah. Let him fill your cup today. Let you overflow in the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Hallelujah. It's the power that takes away sickness. The power that takes away sin. The power that abolishes death. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the healing power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, that's made itself known in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The power, hallelujah, and the authority, hallelujah, to open up shunts, hallelujah. The power to take away headaches. The power to make the weak and the wobbly strong. Hallelujah. To stand up strong in the faith and the power. I feel the virtue of the Holy Ghost healing and touching and delivering right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's fall in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you girded up? Are you truly the army of God? Are you prepared for battle? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Are you in the army of God? Are you an overcomer? Are you filled with the victory of the Holy Ghost and the power of salvation? Are you a good soldier for Christ, keeping yourself unspotted from the affairs of this world? Thank you, Lord, for the sons of God. Thank you, Lord God, for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord God, for the spirit of righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for giving the glory of God to the saints of the living Most High God. Hallelujah. You might say the Bible says that he don't give his glory to none others, and he doesn't. But we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We are now the sons of God, and he give us his glory, amen. Hallelujah. We're the manifested glory of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. You know why? Because he give it to me, amen. It's not a hope. It's been fulfilled, amen. Hallelujah. I'm not hoping that death is conquered. It's abolished. It's conquered. Hallelujah. And I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. Hallelujah. Death can't get near me. It can't touch me. Hallelujah. Nothing can be laid to my charge because I'm God's elect. Hallelujah. Sin is abolished. It's conquered. And death is abolished and conquered. Amen. There is no sin in a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know how you know? Because they're overcomers and they're walking beyond it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not just some kind of an expression. It is a life of liberty and power and authority.
Praise
Hallelujah.
You're
glad you came out to the house Amen. Of God today. Amen. I'm glad I come into the house of God. Amen. Let's sing another song. Amen. Just let the Lord have his way. Lord God, I've failed, I've stumbled, I've staggered, I've showed weakness, Lord God, but I'm standing here, Lord God, before the mercies of a living God. I'm standing here before the mercy. I say, God, fill me with your Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Spirit. Fill me with the power, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let that be your prayer, and he'll answer it. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Praise you, Jesus.
God. He set me free.
Thank you, Jesus. Don't let condemnation rob you.
Start walking in a place that's placing under God that your thoughts can be established. When these kind of thoughts come to you and you have doubt and unbelief, there's Satan. Say, Satan, shut your mouth. Get behind me, Satan. You're talking to a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High King. Hallelujah. He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. He's given me victory. He's given me power. He's given me authority. He filled me with the joy of my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take it. Believe it. It's yours in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you set free? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did he set you free from worldly lust? Did he set you free from death? Did he set you free from gossip and backbiting and talebearing? Hallelujah, he set me free. Thank you, Lord. Did he set you free from unbelief? Did he set you free from doubt and despair? Did he set you free from feeling sorry for yourself? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He set me free. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing another song. Amen. Say, Lord, have your way in my life before the service is closed. Lord God, fill me with your Holy Ghost and your power. Fill me with your joy, Lord God. Let the joy of the Lord be mentioned among me. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for all authority, all power. I thank you for life, abundant, eternal, and holy. I thank you, Lord God, this life's not temporal. I thank you, Lord, for spirit life. Fall in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Desire Him. Desire more of Him. Desire the infilling of His love, of His praise, of His Spirit. Let Him number you with the sons of God. Let it be your testimony that now ye are a son of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we worship and close our eyes and lift our hands to the Lord, as we close the service, let the Lord have His way in your life. Surrender your all to Him. We'll get Brother Emil to come up to dismiss us in prayer. Remember to continue to hold him up in prayer and his wife. Pray that God could have his way and be made known and be made manifest. More than a conqueror in these circumstances that seem out of their control. Pray that he'll move in the government of Colombia and the government of America. Pray that God will show himself in what seems to be impossible and make it possible. Hallelujah. Pray for a speedy work and manifestation. God's capable. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. We love you and appreciate you as Brother Emil comes.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.